Good afternoon. You are listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm William English, and today's mystery guest is Richard Thomas, station manager of a well-known radio station. Hello, Richard.
Good afternoon.
The first time...
It's not much of a mystery, is it? You've given away my name. It's making it less
enigmatic. Well, it's a sort
enigmatic.
Of build-up. Oh,
okay,
it's
okay,
a build-up.
Okay. Sorry.
I was trying to sort of lead on to the question.
I'm not the station manager either.
Are you not?
No.
Since when were you demoted?
No, I've been promoted.
Promoted to what?
I've always been the news editor.
Right.
Even though we don't do news, but I suppose it means processing news and assigning features and things to people when it seems appropriate.
Yep.
And I'm in charge of content. So,
have you ever been station manager?
I don't know.
I always thought you were station manager.
I was at one point. Yes,
right.
I was at one point, and Chris was at one point, and then we sort of made some sort of division of labour, some demarcation.
Right.
Yeah. So Chris Weaver, my colleague, is head of production or technical production manager. That's right. I'm in charge of content.
So what's your job description? You can't be called a content manager, can you?
I hate the term content manager.
Yes.
Because it implies that I'm content manager. You know, I'm not. What am I? I don't know. I commission programs and develop programs and produce programs. So whatever that means, I don't know. Who cares?
There's a team of three.
Yeah. Yes.
So who's the third man?
The third man. Ding-a-ding-a-ding.
Yep,
ding.
Indeed.
It's Dr. Baxter.
Right.
Dread Baxter, we call him. Dr. Ed Baxter.
And he
is the, you know, the grand fromage, you know. I guess in BBC terms, he'd be the controller.
Controller. Hmm. Okay, controller, content manager, and remind me of Chris Weaver again.
He's that blonde chap who sits opposite me. What is his job title? He is...
You've forgotten already, haven't you?
I don't know, technical production or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a full-time staff of three and thousands of volunteers such as myself.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The first time I knowingly encountered you...
Okay.
...was at an event off the Bethnal Green Road... on the upper floor of a factory building on a Sunday afternoon, probably 6 years ago now, organised by Matan and Joel Stern. I showed a film, and then Nishidi Takehiro, otherwise known as Take, I think, started a performance which involved you blowing into a plastic hose pipe immersed in a bucket of water, I think.
Mm.
Is that about right?
Well, that was part of it, I think. Yeah. And it was also, I was performing with the notorious Hugh Metcalf. Curator of the Clinker.
Right, club. Who was sort of playing a guitar.
Sort of, yes.
Could we describe it as playing a guitar?
Sort of a guitar.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
I think what I had was I used to make these kind of serpents, sort of primitive, wind instruments from the Middle Ages.
Oh, right.
And I think I used to make reeds out of quite strong drinking straws. You know, I had to make a reed out of a drinking straw. A reed, you know, that you'd use with a clarinet or whatever.
Well, by sort of squashing one end of it.
You flatten one end of it, and then you cut it into a triangle shape.
You're right.
And you know, the more narrower the taper, the higher the vibration rate, so the higher the frequency. Sometimes, so you'd stick that in the end of a rubber tube.
Yeah.
Or I used to play trumpet quite a lot.
All right.
Not very well, but quite a lot. And I think I put a trumpet mouthpiece in the end of it. I don't know why.
I thought there was I could have sworn there was a hose pipe.
Well, it was a hose pipe.
Yeah.
What I mean is, I put a trumpet.
You put the reed into the end of it.
Yes.
And a trumpet on the other end.
Reed into the end of it, or I'd use a trumpet mouthpiece in the end of it.
And was there a bucket of water involved? It didn't. The hose pipe. It sort of involved. You were all quite active, weren't you? You were sort of like jumping around, and it seemed to be quite frantic. Well, Hugh Metcalf was certainly jumping around. With his guitar.
Yes. I suppose it was a kind of piece of, you know...
On leaving the factory building
and
approaching the Bethnal Green Road, almost directly opposite is a business premises with a large sign above the door which says, William English and Son, Funeral Directors, which came as a slight shock. If you have to come across your own namesake in that way, it would be preferable to perhaps come across something more glamorous or cheerful, such as a florist or a piano tuner, anything but a funeral director.
Hmm.
Have you ever come across someone with the same name as yourself?
Oh, my word, there's many of them out there. someone asked me this the other day, you know, oh, do you know, and so on. And for a number of, I seem to remember it was a summer. And I used to be involved in sort of, you know, music performance and things a lot. Yeah. And comedy to an extent, strangely enough, you know. And I seem to remember, I don't know what it was, but I think it was a private view. And I was out and I saw some sort of music biz stroke art chums, you know, acquaintances, colleagues. And they were being very nice to me. Mm. And saying things like, expect you're very busy at the moment, you know, and being quite obsequious, you know. And I was quite taken aback by this, and because usually people are quite hostile and rude. And I was working on a building site at the time, you know. But of course, they thought I'd wrote the music for Jerry Springer the Opera, you see.
Oh, right.
And
I
found out the real reason they were being nice to me, I was quite disappointed. But yes, I have this, I think there's many Richard Thomas. It's quite a common name.
Yes, I was going to say, would it be likely that you would encounter more Richard Thomases in Wales?
Strangely, I don't know any of that from Wales. No. But I'd say the name Thomas is quite a common name in Wales.
Yeah.
Even though, of course, I suppose it's of Hebrew origin, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm.
It means twin, doesn't it? I think it's the etymology of the name.
You are from Wales, though.
I'm from South Wales, yes.
South Wales. Yeah.
Yes, Monmouthshire. Yeah. So it's quite Anglo-Welsh.
Okay. So, okay. And if you encounter somebody with the same name as you, what kind of... Well, of course, the Richard Thomas that you're talking about was what, a music director?
He was from South Wales, from Llanelli, I think, and wrote the music with Stuart Lee, and I kind of know Stuart.
Right.
So
right,
people
right.
made this false connection.
Yes.
He's from South Wales. I don't know, I'd be quite interested to meet him. It's quite amusing.
Yeah, yeah. So...
He's not here, is he? I thought that was a surprise. You know, he's going to come out from behind.
Well,
he
would have been the mystery guest. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, when did you first get involved with Resonance? When was your initial?
You know what? Actually, a long time ago now, 11 years ago.
Oh wow! Oh really?
Yes. A lot of people didn't know it's been on air 11 years. No, there was a restricted service license.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
From
the South Bank.
Yeah, it was 107.3 FM, 1998 for 3 months.
Right.
And at that time, I'd kind of by accident got into making music. Well, I'd always made music or been involved in music as a musician or a composer, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I by accident kind of got into it and started having records started coming out and things like that. And they had a certain amount of critical acclaim. And I think, as I remember, I went on, it was my birthday. And I went on and I just had an album out called... Shoes and Radios Attract Paint on a label called Low Recordings. And I think the guy that ran that label, a guy called John Ty, was invited to go on and do a kind of label presentation. And no, I tell you what, a second kind of album I did with a group from Dublin called The Wormholes.
You say albums, what, are these vinyl? Or?
There were vinyl versions of them, but they were essentially CDs. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Shoes and Radios Attract Paint had just come out a few months beforehand, and this one called 7-Point Plan to Destroy Astrology. It was about to come out, I think, and they asked me to go on and talk about it. But it was nothing particularly artistic or anything particularly creative about my time on Resonance at that, you know, at that point. It was just a fairly light chat about music, you know.
Yeah.
Where they ask you boring things like what are your influences or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So, rubbish.
Yes. I'll just cross that question off. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And and then that was it. And for some reason, when the next sort of wave of sort of interest in doing some Resonance thing started percolating, some friends, people like Knut Alfermann, who was the original radio the station manager, and so on, were acquaintances and friends of mine, and I think when they asked me for some ideas, because I'm quite good at that kind of thing, having ideas, and then I was invited to maybe make a program. So for a number of years, from about 2001 or 2002, I suppose it would be, it was 7 on last Friday, I did a program called Banality.
Oh, right. Mm.
And then I ended up working here because...
What was the drift of that programme? What was
Part of my ongoing investigation into the psychedelic dimensions of boredom.
Right.
Yeah, which is a kind of Gesamtkunstwerk, to use a German term.
Because your other shows were Hello, I'm Your Floor and Edible Landscapes.
Edible Landscapes is still on. It's not really my show. It's my concept.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's
yeah,
my
yeah.
concept. No, but yeah.
I think they all have a common thread running through them, which is boredom.
No, not really. I did start off with. I was very interested in. You know, even people like Marcel Duchamp have explored this kind of infra thin thing between something and nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, I was kind of interested in that, and I was also very interested from the perspective of acoustics or sound art in things. I was kind of annoyed and bored, really, by, even no disrespect to people that do it, well, lots of disrespect to them, actually. people that go out, you know, and they record some bloody leopard or something like that. I mean, you know, of course it's bound to be exciting and so on, but I was actually interested in investigating the more banal, so-called banal side of things, you know. Like, you know, what does an anorak sound like in 1998 and or even 2009, and you're listening to one now. No, you know, or what does, you know, I don't know, what's the interior of a flat actually sound like? Or, you know, it's quite funny, you know, I do things like, so record almost nothing, but the central motif would be, say, like me walking around North London in chords, you know, that kind of stuff. And
right.
So just interested in that sort of stuff, and really, to be honest with you, a kind of auto-fiction. Because I've been writing quite a lot on the side privately, and it's a terrible kind of, probably puts a terrible hex on whatever might happen to that sort of stuff. But, you know, some of it's script, some of it's not script, but writing about stuff that's almost reports of the boring and the mundane. And
tell me about what were the albums like, these first albums that you did?
Like,
what was that sort of, because presumably that was before banality.
Yeah, it was very different. They're kind of, it's one of those things where, I suppose, if I was a novelist, I'd pitched, like, say, three romantic novels, and they got picked up and been, you know, relatively successful. But I was by no means a romantic novelist. It's just I was taking a punt on these things, and it just sort of happened. And it was really a triptych I made. So I did a record called Shoes and Ready to Track Paint, this one called 7-Point Plan to Destroy Astrology, and the third was called Soggy Martyrs. And really, I suppose what I was doing was trying to, I'm not entirely sure, but I was trying to integrate kind of musique concrète and everything, this kind of stuff, with live musicians, really. Mm-hmm. And it was about collaborating as well, which is quite important. I mean, ultimately, I had the final. It was a bit, I tell you what I always say, it's a bit like directing. Which is, directing a film is a collaborative process, because you have actors
and crew.
Because
you are interested in filmmaking as well, aren't you?
Yes, yeah.
You make films, you're involved with Electric Sheep magazine, you do a programme called Close Up.
I'm ready for
my close-up. Which is sort of usually involved with filmmakers.
Yeah.
Right. So you've been doing a whole bevy of things, which are kind of a mixture of activities. Let's go back a bit before the albums. What was your? Where did you go to college?
I've never had a very. I've always had a problem, really, with educational establishments.
Right.
I never particularly enjoyed school. Not that it was some heartbreaking time or anything. It's just I don't get on with it. I feel constrained by these environments, really, and I thought it was all too rigid and a bit dull, you know. But I went briefly to study sociology and dropped out, and that was just totally random. I was sick of it. Wanted to move. I was sick of where I was, of Wales and all this kind of stuff. I wanted to move to London. I'd always sort of been to London and things like that, and I had relatives here and all that kind of stuff, so I kind of knew it.
Right.
And I was desperate, really, and I hadn't done as well in my A levels as I should have done.
Right.
I think I was supposed to get a B and two B's and a C, and I think I got a B and two D's, and originally I was going to go off and read history and politics, but I was stuck. So I thought, I'll go and do sociology somewhere, because that's what I had my highest grade. You know, I like sociology, I was interested in it.
Yeah.
And
so where did you go?
Well, I didn't have a clue. I saw this place called Greenwich University, it looked really flash, you know, on the prospectus. There was a picture of the Maritime Museum.
Oh, right.
Me, the fool, thinking it was, you know, the hallowed halls of the university. Yeah, yeah. And in fact, my faculty turned out to be above a Great British Burger in Woolwich.
Right.
It was horrendous, honestly. It was terrible. And the course itself was sub-A level, if you ask me, you know, really. And I had enough of it. And I was starting to do a bit of freelance writing for, you know, fairly crappy music
magazines. Had you been playing the trumpet at this time?
No, I started. The first instrument that I learned was guitar, actually. And right. I had bits and pieces that my grandfather used to make musical instruments and was a musician. So there was always things around my grandmother's house. And
he made instruments?
Well, he used to make violins, but he also played the clarinet and saxophone and various other bits and pieces. You
right,
know,
right.
Just to entertain himself. I mean, it's just, you know, the 30s and 40s. And so, you know, I used to experiment with these things at home, but I was making, when I say experiment, I mean, I was messing around with tape records and things, but I mean, it wasn't, it was hardly, you know, hardcore, rigorous electroacoustic music or something. It was still, you know, somewhere within a kind of pop idiom.
Right.
But, you know.
So we leap forward to sociology then in Greenwich.
Yeah, I know, we're leaping all over the place. Sorry about that.
That's fine. So how do you get from that to sort of experimental music?
Oh, well, I was always interested in it. I always was very interested in classical music. Right. And I think it was one of those things where, you know, you've got some friend who's a bit older than you and you play him some kind of thing you've done on this knackered old piano. And he says, oh, it's like John Cage. Right. And I'd read. You see, I had literary knowledge of music concrete and the Third Viennese School, Schoenberg, and all. I knew about a lot of this stuff. And but some of the things like works by Pierre Schaeffer and Pierre Henry and Luc Ferrari and all this sort of stuff, I'd only ever read about. I didn't get to hear them until I was about 25. Right. So I kind of imagined it.
Yeah.
But I was aware of things like Webern and Berg and things, and, you know, I suppose in a populist way, and things like the Radiophonic Workshop, which is a kind of softcore version of music concrete. It's a very musical version of it. Yeah. I mean, the melody pitch is quite old-fashioned, you know, in that sense. It's not particularly abstract. I don't know. I mean, I've always been interested in weird stuff, I suppose. Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know where it comes from. Partially, I do know, in fact, where I think it's quite convenient to do this, but my grandmother and grandfather, they had a, I think it was quite common after the war, to go and buy an upright piano that had been dragged off the site of a bomb, dragged off a bomb site.
Yeah.
And companies would go drag them off bomb sites in Bethnal Green or whatever it is, refurbish them, and flog them on cheap to families and households. And my grandfather bought one of these, and I think it was a bit dodgy. The soundboard isn't very good, so the lower octave and the highest octave and the lowest octave are completely all over the place, and they're very atonal or very dissonant. And I think I always liked it.
Yeah,
it's mysterious, you know. There's much more colour within these things. There's much more microtonal stuff going on. So I think, you know, that probably opens up your ears a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, but.
So your other show, what was your other programme? Hello, I'm Your Floor.
Hello, I'm Your Floor, yes, which is currently, unbelievably...
oh, yes, let's hear this...
not the subject of a book, but it's in a book, and not a very good book at that. And also in the Daily Mail, believe it or not.
What, your show is mentioned in the Daily Mail?
My show... No, my show isn't mentioned in the Daily Mail.
This is today's Daily Mail.
But today's Daily Mail, page 26 and page 27, there's a double spread called How I Went Radio Gaga. And it says, new figures reveal we listen to more radio than ever. In this delightful voyage of discovery, one addict tells how he tuned into a different station every day, from Wogan's Whimsy to the unlikely joys of Washing Up FM. Okay, so two-page spread. John Osborne is the same chap that authored this rather disappointing book about British radio called Radiohead, dreadful name, published by Simon & Schuster. And he's the author of this article also. And it's funny, the company we keep, one, the Daily Mail. Now, are we doing something wrong that we're in the Daily Mail?
Is it? Is Resonance mentioned in this article?
Yes, it is. Radio 2 is mentioned.
Right.
Radio 4 is mentioned. Radio 1 is mentioned.
Yeah.
Test Match Special is mentioned.
How do they mention Resonance?
Classic FM is mentioned. Radio 4 is mentioned. Talk Sport is mentioned. And Resonance FM is mentioned. Right. So we're in between Test Match Special and Radio 1. Not bad. What does he say?
Are you pleased about that, or would you rather be left out?
I'm left out of this article.
No, but would you... you happy that Resonance is mentioned in the Daily Mail?
Yes, I am, in a strange way. It's good that... Look away. We're up there with... the BBC things.
Yeah.
Classic FM, Talk Sport, and us. Yeah. They've got loads of money, we've got none. We must be doing something pretty good, actually.
True.
But
let's hear about this book. So this, we've got this book, Radiohead.
So this article in the Daily Mail. Let's make it clear. It's just essentially it's product placement masquerading as an article. It's just an abstraction
to sell this
from
book.
The book.
Yeah.
In this book, we have a chapter.
What is the definition? What's he? Why has he written this book? What's the sort of subtext?
Shall I read
the
blurb on the back?
Yeah.
All right. John Osborne has long been a fan of radio, from late-night sessions with John Peel to afternoons accompanied by a test match special. Actually, they've got... You know, John Peel came to my mum's house once. You know that?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'll tell you about that later.
All right, OK.
With John Peel to afternoons accompanied by a test match special, he's always enjoyed tuning into the riches of the best radio broadcasts. When his dull, temporary job became drearier than ever, John decided to remain attached to his headphones and he decided to listen to a different radio station each day, all day for a month. There you are.
Okay.
Well, look at that. See, this section. It's about size 18 font, isn't it? 277 pages, and there we are. Chapter 7, page 85. Quote opens up with an italicised quote from The Enemy, which I've never come across before. This is what it says: "An oasis of subversion within a desert of." I can't read that. It says some rude words there.
What does it say?
No, I can't. It says something about.
Go on.
I can't. No, it's too rude.
What? It's too what?
It's too rude. Too rude.
What, in the context of this sentence?
Yeah, it's highly sexual.
Start the sentence again.
I can't.
No,
basically,
I can't.
Okay. An oasis of subversion within a desert of corporate. A place to hear tomorrow's new music today.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Starts off talking about Six Pillars to Persia, which goes out on Mondays at 1:30. Obviously a show looking at Persian culture, presented by Fari Bradley. Goes on, talks about Bridget Nichols's programme Creature Curious, which is a natural history programme, though he calls it Creature Curios.
Oh, right.
Yeah, poor copy check in there, isn't it? Who's his editor? You don't want them looking after your book, do you? Blah, 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 blah. Goes on about that for a bit.
Yeah.
Stretches it
out. Let's get
out.
To Hello, I'm Your Floor.
Okay,
your
hang on. It's coming now. Here we are. Now, I've got a few problems with some of this. He's misquoting me. Or he's just inventing quotes, but whatever. "Hello, I'm Your Floor," says a voice at 6:30. "This is a weekly show recorded from the perspective of the floor," continues the voice, "which I imagine belongs to a teenager who wears Doctor Who pyjamas and is allergic to soya." Which is me, obviously, right? I'm not a teenager, far from it. I'm a good 20-odd years off that. And I don't have any Doctor Who pyjamas. And I'm allergic to milk, but not soya. But anyway, I am currently lying down. My head is about 7 inches from the ground. It's a wooden floor, laminated. I'm wearing shoes and corduroy trousers that make a swish sound. I might half watch a film later. I'm going to say goodbye now and leave you to your floor. Well, I didn't say that. I would have said that. I just wouldn't have said that. Which is exactly what he does. This is him again. He says, talking about me, which is exactly what he does. We hear footsteps, the faint blare of a television, murmurs of voices in another room, the words inaudible. This goes on for half an hour. I can't work out whether it's the weirdest show I've ever heard or the work of genius. I tend to think it's the latter. I tend to think it's the latter. Actually, look, I managed to... I've plonked it on the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's...
What are you going to do now? What's this?
Well, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. It's your show, mate.
Tell me what you're about to do.
Well, there's a lovely bit of Shostakovich there, if you fancy it.
Well, this is your theme tune, is it? I mean, you like this music. This is your favourite piece of music? Go on.
I've been enjoying listening to it recently, yeah.
Right.
I've got into Shostakovich. But look... The very programme he's talking about. Hello, I'm Your Floor.
Right.
Let's see if he's right. Oh, no, actually, it's your show. You tell me. What, if you've got other questions you want to ask me?
Well, we're kind of running out of time.
Well, let's try and squeeze them in.
What's my glasses back on?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Hit the Shostakovich button. Let's hear this.
Okay. You want to hear Shostakovich?
Yeah.
Keep the mics up. Have a little fragment of it. It's very, very delightful. It's from String Quartet number 8. So, it's quite dramatic. Yeah, you're gonna...
Well, you've been listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM, and today's mystery guest was Richard Thomas. Thank you very much for coming on, Richard. And
I hope I was mysterious.
And perhaps we should continue this, perhaps another week, possibly even next week. We could carry
on. Would make sense, wouldn't it?
I have got several more questions. Mm. One of which, I remember you were going to film the Resonance Studio at Denmark Street, which I thought was a great idea.
Did you ever
do any of that?
Yeah. I've got bits of footage.
I remember I thought what a great idea to film people coming and going at Denmark Street. But by the time I sort of got round to it, I think about a year had gone by, and so one had missed the sort of originators, as it were. Mm-hmm. But did you get much footage of that?
Yeah, a fair bit. I mean, some of it's not too usable, and also the lighting in that studio was really awful. Yeah. I mean, it was non-existent. It was like candlelight.
Right.
And for whatever reason, I could never get the right kind of white balance on the camera and things like that. So,
I don't think that matters.
No,
is
not
it
really.
Stuff? Is it? Can you see it? Can you see people and hear people?
I actually ended up taking more photographs than I did moving images.
It'd be nice just to string it all together and just put it all together in chronological order and show it somewhere. It'd be fascinating.
Yeah, you could do a kind of half slide short film kind of thing with it, I think. Yeah. It's just time, isn't it?
Time indeed. Yeah. And we are running out of time. So next week, perhaps, and next week is actually the deadline for the competition, isn't it?
Oh, yes, of course.
The Wavelength theme tune competition.
Redesign the Wavelength theme tune.
For which I think we have two entrants so far.
Okay.
And there is a mystery prize. Anyway, anyone wishing to still enter into the Wavelength theme tune competition should go to resonancefm.com.
Yeah, and follow that. Go to the news section, and there's a specific section in that subsection, which tells you all about how to enter and how to obtain the audio. And
there's still a week left.
Yes.
To enter for this.
So don't hesitate.
Okay, thank you very much.
So actually what we're going to do anyway, for the next half an hour, coming up at 4... It's Sonic Recycler with Douglas Benford, which is plugging the forthcoming Sonic Recycling show at the Waterman Centre in Brentford. But for the next half an hour, it's the very edition of Hello, I'm Your Floor we're talking about. So the world's
amazing coincidence.
Recorded from the perspective of a floor. Yes.
Fantastic. Okay.
Thanks.
So I'll let you press the right button, Richard.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. You're listening to the first episode of Hello, I'm Your Floor, the weekly show produced or recorded from the perspective of the floor, a soundscape for the board by the board. It's about 12:15 on Thursday, the 6th of September, 2007. And I'm talking to you, looking down at the recording device on the floor. My head is I'm on my knees, and my head is about 7 inches away, 7 or 8 inches away from the machine. What am I doing, apart from recording this introduction? Well, I am... trying to learn how to use a kind of bit of web or blog design software, which is harder than I imagined. I don't know why. And I'm kind of, you know, doing that in my little kind of chamber. I've got a little kind of office thing with all my crap in it, basically. I just did a poster sort of design, you know, quite a simple thing really, for my new vaudeville night, I suppose we'll call it, called Tight Pudding, which will be happening at Ryan's Bar in Church Street, Stoke Newington, I can't remember what it's going to be. It's something like the third Tuesday of every month, starting next month. I'm doing it with a friend of mine. We sort of alternate. Or friends of mine. We sort of alternate. Anyway, I've been doing that. I'm trying to work that out. So what you'll probably hear is me walking back and forth,
you know, because I'm sort of like uploading images and editing images and stuff, and sometimes it takes a while for them to render, so it's really pretty boring. And also I've got a bit of a headache from looking at a computer screen for most of the day, so it's the last thing I want to do really. But I want to sort of learn this stuff in a leisurely way, and I seem to have the patience for it, and that was usually how my patience is in short supply. So I'll do that and maybe watch a bit of TV, or maybe even sort of half watch a film I've got or something like that, you know. It's a kind of wooden floor, polished sort of floor.